turn that corner. It's time for it to get even better. It always gets better with the Lord. Remember that. Don't be satisfied for that when the Lord is trying to give you this. Amen? Amen. And so I think the Lord is prompting me today to kind of open up your eyes a little bit more on where we are and where he's taking us. Some good times. We've grown. We've learned. Our appetite has been wet to us wanting more. And the Lord said, I heard your cry, and I'm going to give you more. But in order to get more, you have to sit at my feet. And that's where we are. And as a body, we have to know it. And the reason I'm going to expound on this today, because we're going to see in scriptures how the world and the church can misunderstand what's going on. We can be so misunderstood. Because if the Lord is calling us beside the still waters and everyone else is by the roaring waterfall, they're going to misunderstand us. And so you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt where we are in the body of Christ. He's wooing us back to himself. Even today, we worshiped him. Even today, we called him king. Even today, we were in his presence, feeling how wonderful it is to be. You can face your most horrific incident in life, but in his presence, there's healing. And sometimes we forget that. And so I'm going to start today with just talking a little bit about two people in scriptures that you're very familiar with. The Lord is calling us back to him. We're his first love. Amen. He is a jealous God. And sometimes we can fall in love with the blessing and forget the blessor. Because the blessing does bring us happiness and joy, but without the blessor, you wouldn't have it. And he remembers that we're dust. And he remembers that we can forget. So in his goodness and kindness, he's taking his gentle hand and he's pushing us back on course, right up into his face. We talk about Martha and Mary, and we talk as if the Lord gives us a choice on whether to be busy or whether to serve. He doesn't. It's not a choice. It's a balance. He said it's just you need to know when to choose the better part. It's not a choice. Both are useful in the kingdom. But you have to know when to choose the better part. See, Mary knew. He was very kind. Martha, you're busy about so many things. But Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken from her. And I think we're in a season now when the Lord is saying, choose the better part. Me. We have to get to the point where we begin to have tunnel vision for Christ. When we begin to close the door to our secret closet. And this is going to be hard. When you're going to have to be able to ignore the cry for help, the cry of the poor, the cry of the needy. You're going to have to be able to ignore it and grit your teeth and know that you've chosen the better part. And it's not that you're turning your back on mankind, but right now the master's calling. And if the master's calling, he's going to take care of that which is crying out. Amen. And you have to get to, because we're not used to that. We're used to providing. We're used to fixing. And even as Christians, we're used to the missionaries and we're used to the fixing up. It's a part of the call, but there comes a time when there's a greater call, the call from the master to put all that down now and follow me. And follow me. And be prepared, because as soon as you do that, you're going to be misunderstood. And if that matters to you, you're going to stumble. If the opinion of mankind matters to you, examine yourself. Because you're not serving God, you're serving man. Because when the master calls, you answer. If mankind misunderstand, that's okay. Because you know the Lord will take care of that. You're a servant to the Lord. But be prepared to be misunderstood. Don't wait until you're in the midst of the situation to ask the Lord to give you wisdom here. Be prepared now to be misunderstood. Disliked, shunned, talked about. But as long as you've answered the call of the master, be assured that the Father is pleased in your service to him as a sweet fragrance. And that should bring you comfort. We're going to see how a precious holy woman in the Bible, everything she did was misunderstood. Not just by the world, but even by the Christians. He's worthy. And we're in a season in our lives now that we realize that Christ alone is worthy. He's worthy. We say that. Do we know what that means? Well, the world defines us as being locally renowned, important, full of dignity, honorable, having value, worthy. The quality of something that makes it desirable. Well, we have a Father in heaven with the quality of faithfulness, the quality of graciousness, the quality of forgiveness and loveliness, the quality of being majestic and a warrior. And you tell me he isn't worthy? He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. We can look at mankind and we can say that he falls under all these attributes of being honorable and having value, but only our God is majestic. Only our God can answer prayer. Only our God is a mighty warrior. Only our God is a healer and a provider. Hallelujah. And a protector. Only our God, he alone is worthy. He's worthy. He's valuable. He's desirable. He's honorable. I extol him. I exalt him. I worship him. Hallelujah. Because he alone is worthy. He's valuable. Is he valuable to you? My goodness, he's valuable. And that's what he's trying to bring us back to. Know that I'm valuable. Know that I alone am worthy. Come back to your first love. Your majestic love, your provider, your protector, your savior. Come on back. Get your eyes off worldly things now because it'll kill you. It'll steal your joy. It'll make you feel unworthy. It'll make you feel hopeless. But see, when you sit at the feet of Jesus and you gaze into his face with that beautiful smile, and all of a sudden out of you begin to pour worship, everything else becomes dim as he becomes brighter and brighter. When's the last time you sat at the feet of Jesus? When's the last time you heard his voice? Not made it up, but actually heard it. When is the last time you felt the touch of the Savior? Did you feel it as you was running to do something and it brushed by you? Did you hear his voice off in the distance? You were running to do something and you barely heard him. When's the last time you were still and got an answer to prayer? When's the last time you waited for him to say, this is what I need you to do? When is the last time you've been in his presence and the fullness of joy overtook you? You felt his healing power burning in your body because you took the time just to be still. Daddy, mama, phone ringing. I need you. The poor needs you. But you said, hush. The Father's talking. Hush. hush that noise. The Father's moving. Glory to God. And you say it with such power and such dignity that everybody becomes still because the Father is in the midst. Glory to God. In the midst of all your turmoil, in the midst of all your anxiety, hush. You can talk to your body. You can talk to your mind. You can talk to your circumstances. Shut up. The Father is here. And I'm worshiping him because he alone is worthy. You're not worthy of my attention. You're not worthy of my anxiousness. You're not worthy of my looking on you. You're not worthy. Only the Father is worthy of my attention. And the Father's pleased. He said, look at her. Look at her. She's not concerned. She know I can do it all. She's spoken to that which is troubling her. And she's given me honor and dignity and value. And the Father's pleased. And see, all he has to do is make one little move. And woo! One little move. Woo! And as David says, all is well with my soul. He doesn't have to use a lot of energy like we do. He can move a finger. He can bat an eye. He can breathe a little harder. And the world will shake and rumble and roar because they recognize the Father has moved. And Jesus said, if you come and you're still, you'll recognize when I'm moving in your circumstances. And it'll cause you to bow down and worship me. Because you know I'm moving. Glory to God. Calling you back to your first love. He's a mighty warrior. David says in Psalms 150, David knew what it was to worship. He was so caught up with worship. He said, everything that has breath, begin to praise him. Everything that has breath. He saw the worth of our Lord and said, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. See, David was taken up. David was so full of praise. He said, everything around me, just get to jumping and praise the Lord. He made you, so praise him. I don't care what it is, praise. And see, that's the atmosphere we need to bring into a hopeless situation. It's hopeless, and you may be a part of that hopeless situation. But you going in knowing that the one who is worthy is with you. And you coming in full of praise. And you tell everybody, begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Machines, begin to praise the Lord. Needles, begin to praise the Lord. Stethoscope, begin to praise the Lord. You're going to be misunderstood. But when you overcome with praise and he who is worthy, you can't keep it to yourself. I'm going to read a few scriptures. Let me read one if you can stand with me. Glory to God, he's worthy. And when he begins to show you himself, you can't help but bow. When you begin to see him for who he really is, not who you made him up to be, you've decided what he looks like, what he wears, how he's, but he's going to show you for real who he is, and it's going to be something that you never imagine. And all your fears and all your inadequacies and all your doubts are going to fade right off of you. It will change your life, and then you're going to go and change others in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's going to change us. Are you ready to be changed? Yes. I'm so ready to be to expect a visitation from the Lord. Yes. Expect it. That's why he's preparing you. And let it change you. Let it change you. Hallelujah. John 12, 1 through 9. I'm reading out of the NIV. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. Isn't he our defender? It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Choose the better part. Choose the better part. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. You may be seated. Father, bless the reading of your word. Continue to reveal the truths. And Father, help us to apply and be practical in what we hear and learn today from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mean, it was some folk here in this house fellowshipping and eating with Jesus. I'm going to parallel some scriptures because John, Matthew, and Mark all record the same event, one event witnessed by the three disciples in writing. Sometimes we can all be a place, but we'll see things differently. Now, you notice in John, I only mentioned Mary's name, you will see in the book of John, and only Judas. In Matthew and Mark, you're going to see where Matthew and Mark refer to the disciples. Obviously, all of them objected, but for some reason, John saw Judas as being the initiator. John and Judas may have had something going on, I don't know, but he actually mentioned Judas, even though all of them made the comment. I'm going to read the parallel scriptures as you can just follow along. But in, I think it's the book of Mark, you can, you know, write these scriptures down because sometimes you need to go home and do your own parallel study. It's so much to see and so much to gain. I'm just giving you what the Lord's given me today. But my goodness, he hasn't stopped talking when the service is over. So write these scriptures down, go home, and study them, especially the one I'm going to give you in Luke. You're going to have to do that on your own. But in Matthew 26, I'll read 6 through 13, it says, while Jesus was in Bethany, tells you where he was, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. Now, Simon the leper, he had to have been healed because a leper is not going to be given a dinner for anyone. So here it is in Simon the leper house. You got a leper that was healed, a man that was raised from the dead, and Jesus Christ himself. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Woo, what a revival going on. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Here's the word. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Sometimes a sacrifice is a blessing. Sometimes humbleness before exaltation. Humble yourselves. God will exalt. Here's a perfect example. And then in Mark 14, 3-9, while he was in Bethany, once again we have the location, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another. Here Mark just says some of those. Matthew says the disciples. John said Judas. But it all happened. Why this waste? There's the word again. Waste of perfume. It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Those are the three parallel accounts of the gospel of Mary anointing Jesus. Now, what we can conclude here is that the feast took place in Bethany, house of Simon the leper. He was a healed leper. And apparently he had been healed by the Lord. Could have been a relative. Sometimes you need to get familiar with the characters in the scriptures. I love how Elder Brown said you have to hear the tone. You have to hear the tone of the scripture. Because sometimes we read in our own bland, boring little way. Sometimes we read where we don't really want to read. We're just reading because we know the Lord commanded it. So we're reading and we're boring ourselves. It's not that the word is boring. You are boring. So you go in and you read with your personality, with your resentment. I'm just hearing this. With your tiredness, with your fatigue, with your hypocrisy. I'm just doing it to be religious. But the Lord said, but if you come to me with a humble heart, with a heart of love, with a heart of thanksgiving, then you will be able to hear the tone of the scriptures. You'll hear my kindness. You'll hear my warnings. You'll hear my love. You'll hear the frustration of the people in the scripture, and then you'll be able to rejoice when they rejoice. This is live. This is Rhema word. It's rain. It's speaking to us. It's the word. It's Jesus. It's not you. Stop hearing your own voice. Go and hear Jesus. Selah. Now, we saw in the book of John that the name of the woman here is identified as Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. Precious Mary. Now, she's found three times in the gospel, and in each instance, she's at the feet of Jesus. Now, let me do a little sidebar here because I want to note Mary's anointing of the Lord. In verse 3 of John 12, it says, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard. It was an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You note in Mark and Matthew, they said she anointed his head. So if you look at the whole parallel account, she anointed the body of Christ. Amen. That's why it's good when you're reading scripture, read everything so you can get the full picture. But she anointed him from head to feet. Now, you wonder why Mary knew to anoint Jesus. You wonder why she knew something the others didn't know. But let me backtrack for a minute because I want to give you a scripture in Luke 7:36-50 because I hear some folk thinking. In Luke 7:36-50 is a similar event. But I don't want you to get it confused with these three. The unnamed woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee was a converted harlot, and she was expressing her love to Christ because of his gracious forgiveness of her many sins. If you go to Luke 7, 36 through 50, you're going to see a similar incident. And a lot of people think that this is Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. You do your own study. But in my studying, I'm finding out, number one, this was Simon the Pharisee. In the other three books, it was Simon the leper. That was a familiar name back there. I also found out that the Luke incident occurred in Galilee. Matthew, Mark, John event occurred in Judea. Not Mary, the sister of Lazarus. Study all those when you go home. You decide. Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, was a virtuous woman. She was a holy woman. Amen. But you need to, sometimes you can get confused in the scriptures, and I think the Lord allowed that so you can dig deep and study and let the Holy Spirit reveal that to you. Now, the three events where Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, forgive me if I'm taking my time, but I feel it important. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think it's very important that you understand where we're going, because it's so much overlapping. That's right. That's right. And I don't want you to leave here confused. I want you to leave here understanding what's going on in the scripture. Now, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus the three times she's mentioned in the gospel. She sat at his feet and she listened to his word in Luke 10, 38 through 42. She came to his feet in sorrow after her brother died, Lazarus. Oh, he's in a worshiping position. That's in John 11, 28, 32. And then she worshiped at his feet when she anointed him with the ointment. This is the event I'm talking about now that's recorded in Mark, John, and Matthew. She's an example to all of us that at the feet of Jesus we can be blessed. We can bring our burdens. And it's the feet of Jesus that we can give our all. In other words, the Lord is calling us to his feet. If you think about it, this is the only position that he's calling us to. Man has been fooled. Man reached for every position but the feet of Jesus. Any other position that you're seeking that's above the feet of Jesus is from the enemy. He is the only one who tried to exalt himself above him. He never called him Lord, nor did Judas. Never called him Lord. That's the only position. And you can see in the world now, a man is fighting over this position, that position. They're running out of position. They're making up the great archangel name. I don't know what they're calling themselves. Bishop the fourth. Fifth and sixth. My husband said, next time you're going to be called to a ceremony where they're going to be placing wings on them. It's funny, but it's pathetic. We already saw where they're lifting them up in chairs and presenting them as priests and kings. Man, we're losing our minds. And that's what happens when you try to exalt yourself. Jesus said, the only position I'm calling you to is my feet. And even he gave us an example when he washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus did nothing that he's asking us to do. He's done it all. And he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Son of the Living God. He said, but this is the correct position in order to be exalted by my Father. Come to my feet and worship me. And Mary knew that. And everywhere Mary went, she was at the feet of Jesus. When she was in sorrow and hurting, she ran to his feet. When she knew he was about to be crucified, she worshiped him at his feet. Whenever he was in the building, the first place she ran was to his feet. She wanted to be close to him. So if you are reaching for anything, throw it at the feet of Jesus. If you are running after any title, any position, back up and go sit at the feet of Jesus. If anyone tries to pull you into that, run for your life. You tell them, right now, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it's peaceful here. It's quiet here. There's no contention here. No confusion here. I'm just sitting beside the still waters. Hallelujah, just playing in the water. Talk about me all you want. But when he moves, I'll move. Hallelujah. As long as he's here, I'm here. Now, if you keep troubling me, you may hear his voice. Just like he yelled out for Mary, why are you troubling Domia? Leave her alone. What she's doing is a beautiful thing. She's not going to have me always like this. She'll get busy. She'll get about because, yes, indeed, I did say go out and preach the gospel. She'll get busy, but right now, she's chosen that better part. Glory to God, and I'm pleased with her. And if I please the Father, everything in my life is A-okay. Hallelujah. We're at the feet of Jesus. Stay there. Don't let anybody pull you. It's a safe place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to tell you something about sitting at the feet of Jesus. You can hear some precious secrets. You can learn some deep mysteries. But it's going to cause you to be weird. Because you're going to hear things that others haven't, even though you're Christian brothers and sisters. Because, see, not many will choose the better part. No, not many will choose the better. Because some of us love to be busy. Some of us love to do. Some of us love to shine. And it's difficult to be still. And I'm one of them as far as being still. I love to do. I love to check. I love to recheck. But you know what? Keep living. I don't have any problem being still now. And if I am busy when the Lord is trying to gain my attention, the Holy Spirit lets me know the Lord is here. Just like today with that beautiful worship, and I'm trying to do, I heard those people say, the Lord is here. And I had no problem putting it right down. Let's be in tune when the Father is beckoning you to his feet. Stop what you're doing. Give him your full attention. That stuff can wait. That stuff can wait. Let no one put on you more than you can bear. Go to the feet of Jesus. Is this of you, Lord? If it's not, don't take it. Let him talk about you. Let him sit you down. Let him say that you aren't doing anything, that you should be doing so and so. Let him. The Lord will handle that. You be still at the feet of Jesus. Because obviously he has some deep mysteries. And that's what happened here with Martha. I mean with Mary. Mary had listened to Jesus. He had worshiped. And she knew that Jesus would soon die and be buried. She knew that. She knew it. He had told her so. How do you know that? Well, if you look in John 15, see, the Bible says in John 11, says he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loved them. And then over in John 15, 12, here's Jesus talking. He said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Mary was his friend. And everything the Father told him, he told Mary, because Mary listened. So Mary knew he was going to Jerusalem to be married. She knew that his body was not going to see decay. She knew these intimate things about her Lord and Savior. So she knew it was time to go ahead and anoint. Let me anoint him now while I have him with me. Glory to God. Why do you think she wasn't at the tomb? She had already anointed him. Glory to God. She anointed him while she had him. And she was satisfied. I'm not getting up early to go anoint my Savior. I've done it. He will rise on the third day because he told me so. Why am I running after him? I've done my duty while he was with me. How do you know, Mary? Well, when I was at his feet, he shared a few things with me. You know, he told me a little few things, you know, that the Father had told him. You know, he would pull him a little close. Mary, let me tell you something else that's going to happen. Now, don't you be crying and blubbering like everybody else, because Mary, really, on the third day, I'm getting up. And it brought joy to her heart. That's what happens when you're at the feet of Jesus. Everybody else out there boo-hooing and crying. Charlene in here jumping and crying. What's wrong? I knew she was crazy. Well, she'd been at the feet of Jesus. She knows something that I don't. She knows that what I see is not the ultimate. She knows the ultimate is victory. That's why she's shouting the victory. Because she knows this is not the ultimate. Glory to God. Talk about Mary all you want. She was a friend of Jesus. Jesus told her, don't worry about my body decaying, Mary. David made it clear in Psalm 16:10, his body would not see decay. See, whatever the Father told him, he told Mary, Mary, don't worry about my body decaying. It's not going to decay. In the third day, I'm rising. She heard, she acted, and because she acted, she was misunderstood. Jesus tells us, she said, was it in John? I want to tell you what Jesus told her. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. See, Mary knew this was but for a moment. The poor wasn't going anywhere. That's it. After she did what she did to her Savior, after she so-called wasted her perfume on the Savior, after she did what the Lord required of her to do, she knew after that she could get busy about the Lord's business. But right now, it was all about him. It was all about him. And that's what the Lord is trying to tell us. Right now, in this season, it's all about him. Stop your stuff. Stop your doing. Come to the feet of Jesus. It's all about me now. It's all about me now. And you're going to begin to see a pulling away, pastors. You're going to begin to see a pulling away for those who they're not hearing the Lord saying it's all about me. They're going to miss it, and it's going to still be all about them. But there will be no anointing on them. Don't get caught up in that. Look for the Lord's anointing, because the Lord is going, Ichabod, all over the world. You're going to start seeing the glory of the Lord just leaving, because the Lord said, it's not about you anymore. It's all about me. It's all, lift up the name of Jesus. Worship me. I alone am worthy. Don't get caught up in man. Don't get caught up in their fame. Don't get caught up in their money. Don't get caught up in their rhetoric. Don't get caught up in their building plans. The only thing you're supposed to get caught up in is Jesus. And the only position you're running out is one of kneeling at his feet. Any other thing is not of God. Be wise. Jesus says in Matthew 26:10, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with me, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. Here are all the 12 disciples, always with Jesus. And Jesus had to tell them what Mary was doing. They were Jesus all the time. Why didn't they know? Because they're too busy doing. They're too busy getting excited because they can cast out demons. They can heal the sick. They can raise the dead. They did all that, but they forgot Jesus. They got caught up in the fame. They got caught up in people patting them on the back. I know you're one of his disciples. You talk like him. You look like him. Can't you say, oh, yes. You know, I'm in the inner circle. Oh, yes. Well, you need to see Jesus? Let me check first. Let me check, see if he's available, you know. Peter, nope, can't come in right now because he's not available. He's praying. You got to beware of people like that. I know Jesus was saying, look at this foolishness. He's available always. But you got to be very careful. They got caught up in the fame of serving Jesus. Mary just worshiped. And Jesus had to talk out loud and tell them what was going on. And Mary, moving about her business, worshiping, already knowing. He wasn't talking to Mary. He was talking to the disciples. Why are you bothering her? She's doing a beautiful thing to me. She had to prepare this. This was ordained. She knew it. She heard me. She listened. She obeyed. Now you got to realize that perfume was worth a year's wages. Lazarus, Martha, Mary were not rich. Rich people don't serve themselves. They have maids. Martha was always serving. So you know they didn't have money, but for some reason, she had this expensive perfume that was imported from India over a year's wages. And she didn't think it was waste. We don't even talk about the waste yet. Lord Jesus. But she didn't think it was wasteful to put on her Savior. She broke it with intent. I'm not saving any of it. If it has to spill on me, if it has to spill on the linen, if it has to spill, I don't want any of it. David said the same thing. It has to cost. Serving God cost. It costs. Her most expensive perfume, she hid none of it back. It was ruined the moment she broke it. No temptation there. No temptation to go back and save a little for herself. You know, put a little on later. He doesn't need all this. He's worthy of every bit of it. Every bit of it. He's worthy. Glory to God. Jesus. Jesus. He's lovely. Worthy to be loved. Every time Mary sought to do something for Jesus, she was misunderstood. Now, if you've been misunderstood, it's bothersome. You know, don't just sit there like, oh, be misunderstood. No, if you've been misunderstood, it can hurt. It's bothersome because you want to get in there and make it understood. Been there, done that. Have pulled many folk. Go, come here, come here. Yeah, sit down, because I want to make it plain. Real plain. Shut the door while you're in here. And by the time they go out, they come back the next day. Miss Jamie, did you lay me out? Understand that I did. But you grow up in that. Because it was important for me not to be misunderstood. Be running off saying that, girl. Sit down. Don't let me get my pen out. They don't like to see my pen. Because you know what the pen mean. Verbal written out the door. Lord, Miss Jay, please, not a pen. Well, sit down. But then you get to that point where people are going to misunderstand you regardless if you begin to walk the Lord's way. The world ought to misunderstand because you're not agreeing with the way they're doing things. And I tell everybody it takes boldness and courage to serve God. It takes boldness and courage to serve, obey, and obey the Lord. Because, yes, you will be an outcast. You will be misunderstood. You will be talked about. And sometimes that can be a little unnerving. But you have to make up in your mind that I choose to obey God. And whatever comes, the Lord will do as he told Joshua, be courageous. Be very courageous. Be bold. You think the Lord just said those words so you can make up a song? Be bold. Be strong. Yes, he is. I love that girl. And one thing about singing scripture, it helps you to remember scripture. But God said those words for a reason. He knew you would have to be bold and be strong and know that he's with you. Because sometimes you're going to stand up and you're going to make a decision where you probably lose all your friends in 10 seconds. But the Lord said, don't compromise, don't compromise, don't compromise, don't compromise. And you got to grit your teeth. Say, if I lose all for him, it's worth it. I heard from the Lord. My whole body is on fire because I want to compromise. I'm a little nervous here. I don't want to not have any friends. I don't want to be talked about. Jesus did it in the garden. He prayed till he began to sweat blood. Lord, if there's any other way, but you got to get to the end of your prayers. You got to say, Lord, but not my will, but thy will be done. And get up. It's time for some of us to get up from our prayers. And we have to say, Lord, thy will be done. Get up. You've been praying that same prayer for 30 years, waiting for the Lord to change his mind. Well, you ought to know by now he's not. Get up off your knees and say, Lord, thy will be done. Amen. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about because I just got up on a few things. It's like, all right, Lord, I guess after these 30, 40 years, my tears, my bargaining, my plead won't change your mind. So I have said, nevertheless, you got a nevertheless? Nevertheless, I'm going to serve you. Nevertheless, I'm going to worship you. Nevertheless, I'm going to proclaim that you're my Savior. Y'all laughing because some of y'all just brush your knees off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Three times, Mary, because she was a... See, if you're a worshiper, you're going to be misunderstood. Mary is a worshiper. Martha misunderstood her when she sat at Jesus' feet to hear him teach the word. But Martha missed it. Martha probably was in agony, thinking, geez, that was it for Jesus. Mary was in joy because she knew victory was 2 days away. Judas and the others misunderstood her when she anointed Jesus. They called her worship a waste. Her friends and neighbors misunderstood her when she came out of the house to meet Jesus after Lazarus had been buried. They thought she was weeping of Lazarus. She was weeping for her Savior. She went right to his feet. Whenever we give Jesus first place in our lives, we can expect to be misunderstood and criticized by those who follow him and those who claim to follow him. Now, the question of the day is, are you ready to be misunderstood? Are you ready, worshiper? Are you ready? I'm telling you, you'll be free if you are. A lot of times we can't express ourselves in worship because we're too concerned about being misunderstood. Lord, if I cry too hard, they're going to think something wrong with me and my husband. You know, if I jump too high, they may say, what they been drinking? You know, and, you know, I got a reputation, so I can't clap my hands too loud, you know, because I may be misunderstood. And you're not enjoying the freedom that his death on the cross has given you. Because you are afraid to be misunderstood. He's drawing us to his feet. He has some wonderful things to say to us. Secrets that will prevent you from having a meltdown. Life is rough. But Jesus said, if you come to my feet, I can tell you the ultimate of the situation. I'll tell you before it happened. Just like he told Mary. Can you imagine him talking about Mary? Why is she not here? He's her friend. And is he up on the cross getting beat? Why is she not carrying his robe? She could at least bring him some water. I thought she loved him. Oh, she just used him. Now, you know, when he was around here healing the sick, she was all up in his face. But see, Mary knew something they didn't know. Mary said, I already anointed him. I don't need to go out there in that cold morning air. I knew he was dying. But I also know this. I know he's going to be raised on the third day. So I'm here baking food, preparing for the celebration while you out there in the cold and the mud. And you don't know what's happening. You full of pain and agony. I'm full of joy and victory. Glory to God. Because she sat at his feet. He's drawing us to his feet. Let's go there. Let's be still. If you're living, you got some situations the Lord need to give you a little insight on. And he's been wanting to, but you won't be still. You won't be still. And, you know, we're talking too much. He said, shh, be quiet. Let me talk. Let me tell you. Don't be concerned about being still right now. Let everybody else go on about do what they're doing. But you tell them the Lord has called you aside. And guess what? He's sovereign. He can do what he wants. He tells you go, and he tells you be still. He's telling us be still. Come to my feet. Listen to what I have to say. Become a worshiper. Become a worshiper. Even the word, even the Bible. You know, the Lord was telling me the other night, me. Don't mean you so busy trying to get in my word, but I am the word, and you ignoring me. And I'm right here. That thing's like, wow, I heard him. See, we can be careful, because you can start worshiping the book and forget the person. Real easy to do that. But he's so good and kind. I heard him. He said, don't be here. You so busy trying to unravel the book. He said, but you're ignoring me. He said, I'm right. The word, the living word is right here. And it blessed me because then I turned my attention to the person. And I said, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. And did he begin to speak? You ever see somebody just laying, just grinning? And see, I've probably been misunderstood if my children can, and I can hear Mike and Zach now, mama crazy. I know they talk about me. Zach, mama crazy. She's sitting there laughing at herself. And Zach, his little self, he probably go, ma, you all right? Look, he peeping, he ain't coming in now. Zach ain't no fool. Zach, Ma, you all right, Ma? And normally I just get Zach the peace sign. Good night. Get out of my room. Children do that to you, don't they? But see, you see how you nod? I had that look on my face. Uh-huh. Jesus will do it. Brighten you up, and you just get pleasant, you know, because he's speaking to you. I got a lot more to say, but I think I'm going to say it next week because I just don't feel to rush it. But today we've had enough to know that if you're going to be a worshiper, get prepared to be misunderstood. Then the only thing you're going to gain is kneeling at his feet. That's the only position that you're looking for. Settle it right now. You're not running after any position. Settle it because it'll set you free like that. Settle it. The only position you're running after is be at his feet. If someone comes and say, you know, girl, you ought to be a preacher. You ought to be a pastor. Look, that's the Lord's business. Right now I'm at his feet. Be careful because the enemy is going to send some distractions. We'll get into that next week. Some people look at you and think, you know, you should have done so much more with your life. Well, we'll talk about that later. But if what you're doing is what the Lord has called you to do, there's nothing better. But you have to settle it. He's calling us to his feet as worshipers. Don't ignore the living word. Talk to him. Let him talk to you. Let him tell you what's going on. Let him give you the answer. Stop trying to figure it out. No one has the answer but the Lord. Even Jesus' mother was at the cross. Mary wasn't. So you can't think just because we're pastors, we're going to hear more from the Lord than you. It's who's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Come to the feet of Jesus and worship. Prepare to be misunderstood, but the Lord will defend you. He'll tell the world, stop troubling her. What she's doing to me is a beautiful thing. She's worshiping me. All your answers to all your situations is in the presence of the Lord. That's why the enemy tries to keep you out of his presence. Fullness of joy, healing, everything. Revelation, love, everything that you're running out there, ripping and roaring, trying to get. The Lord said, if you just, come on over here. You know, he's so wonderful. The first thing he'll say is rest. And you'll be like, thank you, Lord. I am a little tired. I am a little tired, Lord. He'll say, go ahead, rest. He'll put your heart at ease. He said, I got this. And he says in such a way, you know he's telling you the truth. But you got to hear him. Father, my body's all wrecked up. He said, psh, what's that to me? I made it. You rest now. You rest. Father, I don't have any friends. You got a friend that sticks closer to any brother. Rest now. Rest. Father, you know my family. I'm running short. You forgot. I'm Jehovah Jireh. And by that time, he done taught me right on to sleep. Because every worry that I brought to him, he had an answer for. Every concern. Father, you know my family acting like they nuts. Everybody caught up this. Didn't I tell you? If you serve me, I'll take care of your family. Now remember, I'm not a man that I should lie. Go to sleep now. Rest. Just rest. But Father, I did this. I did that. I'm faithful and just to forgive if you repent. And I've told you that there's nothing that can separate you from my love. So rest. Absolutely nothing. So you see how we waste a lot of energy. And he just comes back with more love. More love. And the whole time he's just rocking you to sleep. Don't you worry about that now. I always make a way. Faithful and just now. Don't forget your brother Jesus. He's forever interceding for you. I see the blood. Don't worry about it. You're white as snow. Hallelujah. So he's saying, you choose this day. Choose whom you're going to serve. Do you trust him? Are you resting in him? Taking all your burdens to him? There's nothing you can tell him that he doesn't have a fix for. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead. I dare you. I dare you. Hallelujah. Father, but I don't have. You don't have. Have you asked me? I told you asked anything in my. He has the answer for everything.
Father, I don't have a job. Father, I don't have.
Have you asked me? Have you asked me in my son's name? I told you, Nell. Anything you ask in my son's name, I'm going to give it to you. You know, don't you believe me? Ask me. What do you want? Ask him. Believe in that you received it, and you'll have it. Father, I need a job. I believe I have it. Now I'm going to go on to sleep, and I thank you for it. I don't care what comes my way. Nothing can deny the fact that I asked based on Jesus' name, according to your word. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. And I'm going to speak it right into existence. Thank you for my job today. If I have to get up every morning, put on a necktie, and sit at McDonald's, drink a hot cup of coffee, and call for 69 cents. Thank you for my job today. Thank you for my job today. You're going to be misunderstood, but it's better to be misunderstood and get a job with money in your pocket than to be afraid and die poor. You just as well be misunderstood and go ahead and get the victory. Thank you for my job today. Thank you for my healing today. Thank you for my friends today. Thank you for a righteous mind today. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Any good? Next week we're going to take up and talk about Judas' scathing remark when he called Mary's worship a waste. Called it a waste. But that's what the world will do. They don't think he's worthy of anything. But we know better. He's worthy. There's nothing I can give him that is considered a waste. Nothing. Hallelujah. Father, right now we come by faith. We hear you drawing us to the feet of your dear son, Jesus, because the word is still speaking. And we come in calmness and peace. Come expecting rest. Holy Spirit, we ask that you fine-tune our spiritual ears so that we can hear what the Father is saying to Jesus, and Jesus is transferring on to us. Because he said everything the Father says, he shares with his friends. We're sitting at his feet near calmly. No worries. No concerns. Not feeling unworthy. Knowing that we're the righteousness of Christ. And we're resting to hear your voice. To unshare the mysteries. Because, Father, we know it can only take one word to set a captive free. But, Father, that word has to be from heaven. And so we lay, because, Father, we know so many who are captives. And our heart is to see them set free. So as we spend this time with you, we're not going to be concerned about them because we know they're under your protective care. But we're going to be focused on you and what it is you're saying to us. You're strengthening us. You're changing us. You're unraveling mysteries. And then when it's time, Father, for you to send us, we'll be strong in the power of your might. Going about doing good, healing all who are sick, because we would have heard from the Lord. We will come from a position of humility to one of power and might in the name of Jesus. We expect a difference in our homes, in our neighborhoods, on our jobs. But it's nothing we'll do. It's nothing we'll initiate. It'll all come from bowing at your feet. Family members will be set free. Chains will fall off. Bodies will be healed. There'll be revival in the land because we were still in the glory of the Lord. We'll rise out of that stillness. Thank you for what you're doing. Your ways are not like the ways of man. So far above. And so as we halt all the busyness and allow the Holy Spirit to turn us into worshipers, we have great expectations about what the world is about to witness in the land of the living. Thank you for speaking to us today. Continue to do so as we rest beside the still waters. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.